here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie. I'm an associate stock strategist here at Zach's, and I'm joined up by one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello. Today is Friday, September 28th. September just flew by.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, it did.
It's basically Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And as always, we're here to recap this week's biggest stories in the investment and financial world. It's been a crazy week. I'm just going to say that right off the bat. Definitely polarizing and definitely showcase the partisan, hyper-partisan.
Gridlock.
Gridlock. Emotional. I don't just... ways just flowing out of Washington. So the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's congressional hearing over sexual assault allegations happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And
it certainly happened.
And I was glued to my phone, watched it over YouTube. Our entire office, not entire, but many people we work with were watching it pretty much all day. I know most of my friends were watching it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have to imagine that was most offices in the country, right? Everyone had pulled up.
Yeah, I think people across, definitely in students in college, students in high school, was when I clicked on GMA, flipped on GMA this morning. They had a little piece like pretty much showing people in conference rooms, throughout like airports, like on airplanes, just watching it. And it's truly was... a momentous moment
it was
in history.
One of those things in the office that happens, and I can't really even remember many of them, but it was one of those things where, you know, it's obviously like difficult to pay attention to what you're working on,
what you're supposed to be doing while this is happening.
But you know, everyone's watching it because something will happen, and you can just hear the room react to it. You can hear everyone like gasp, or you can hear everybody say like "wow," or someone will say, "Oh, wow, did you hear that?" And then everybody responds.
Me was like, "Did you just see what, or did you just hear what Lindsey Graham said?" Or like, he got so heated. But
big day for senators' names trending on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Huge day for that. Huge ratings day for C-SPAN. Probably an all-timer.
Yeah, so it was super emotional, I think, for a lot of people watching it on both sides of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
An all-around emotional week leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have, and right now the Senate committee has to vote on whether they push the confirmation vote to the actual Senate. So we'll see how that plays out. But it was also a really busy week in general for Wall Street.
Yeah, crazy week all around for us, you know, turning more towards the financial side. Notably, we had the Federal Reserve bump its benchmark borrowing rate to the 2% to 2.25% range. That's the first time we've been at that level since the Great Recession. And perhaps more importantly, the Fed also confirmed a continued rate hike schedule into the next year at least. And also, interestingly, removed the word accommodative from its descriptions of U.S. monetary policy. So for me, that's either a tiny little rhetorical change or a huge milestone in the overall recovery of the U.S. economy from the recession. We'll see about that going forward, but certainly some interesting news out of the Fed this week.
And there were also a ton of news affecting some of the market's most impactful, most talked about companies. And we'll kick off this week with a major executive departure over at Facebook.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, a huge leadership shakeup in Silicon Valley Tuesday morning as the founders of Instagram announced they were leaving Facebook, which of course bought the picture sharing platform in 2012. Reports have suggested, I'll say that with a like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Reports have suggested that Facebook chief Mark Zuckerberg's increasing presence at Instagram caused a rift between the leaders. So in other words, what the reports were suggesting was Zucky was showing up a little bit more frequently and they weren't
huge
fans
of it. Hey guys, want some coffee?
Yeah. So the Instagram founders, apologies if I get the pronunciation wrong, but Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger are their names.
Good.
They founded Instagram in a San Francisco co-working space. Of course, Instagram now has over 1 billion users, so good on you. Great work. Also, I hope that they've gone back to that co-working space and just like rally the troops in there. Like, you can, it works.
Let's do co-working. It again. Yes. We need another app.
They said in a statement in a blog post late Monday afternoon, "We're planning on taking some time off to explore our curiosity and creativity again. Building new things requires that we step back, understand what inspires us, and match that with what the world needs. That's what we plan to do." That's the end of that quote. And I just want to say, no salt, no shade, but that is the most tech guy way to announce your departure. Building new things requires that we step back. We're trying to change the world by thinking about how we want to change the world. But yeah, it's kind of it's been an exodus almost. It might be overstating it a bit, but the people in charge of the companies that Facebook has taken over are pretty much all gone now. Notably, Jan Koum stepped down in April as CEO of WhatsApp, which Facebook bought in 2014. So that's, I mean, if you look at that, though, the Instagram founders lasted quite a bit more time than the WhatsApp founder. And I will say, 2012 to 2018, after getting acquired by a massive tech company, is that's a good run for the original founders. A lot of times they're out the door the very next day.
Sure.
And they're on a resort in the Cayman Islands, and they're investing in some like revolutionary new like water cleaning technology or something like that. And they have all the money in the world. These guys worked for several years and now continue to have all the money in the world and can do whatever they land on next. So we'll see what comes out of the Instagram founders next, and we'll see where Zuckerberg takes the picture sharing platform now that he is more at the helm. And with that, we're going to move into another one of the FANG stocks. Actually, if we're thinking about it, it comes right after, because this is the A in FANG. So
yeah,
some more movement out of Amazon this week.
Yeah. So Amazon announced on Wednesday the launch of yet another new physical retail store called Amazon 4-Star. The store is set to open Thursday in New York City's Soho neighborhood. It's a very trendy neighborhood out in Manhattan. And it will sell products from its website that are rated 4 stars or above. So Amazon 4-Star selection is a direct reflection of our customers, what they're buying and what they're loving, said the company in a blog post on Wednesday. This new location, this 4-star location, will feature sections such as most wished for, as well as trending around New York City and Amazon exclusives. And Amazon reported physical sales of $4.31 billion last quarter, and this was up slightly from $4.26 billion in Q1. And these sales were worth about, it's physical store sales, and this is worth about 8% of its total revenue. And the company opened its first bookstore in November 2015. And the bookstores are really cool. I frequent the one that we have here in Chicago up on Southport in one of our Lakeview neighborhoods.
It's really cool, yeah.
It is really cool. And the company now has 15 Amazon book locations throughout the U.S. It also has a deep grocery footprint with Whole Foods and has begun to expand the Amazon Go cashierless store concept, which we actually visited last week.
We took a field trip.
Yeah, we definitely took a field trip. But this Amazon 4-star concept reminds me of the bookstore concept, because it's kind of taking like what customers are wishing for most and kind of like just like throwing it in a store.
Yeah,
so the bookstore is like, it's all the books that are most popular on Amazon.com at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't know what the time frame is, if it's like a 3-month time frame or a 6-month time frame.
Yeah.
And basically putting them in a store.
Yeah. And kind of continuing on the taking what they're learning from the online sales experience. I know at the Amazon Go bookstores, on the bookshelves, they have the books, like all of them are flipped out so you can see the covers.
All of them are flipped out, and they have a customer review.
Yeah. And this is kind of the same thing, like, you know, we're taking that familiar rating the product online experience,
yeah,
and bringing it into the store. I will say the name a little bit too on the nose for me. Amazon 4-star. Where'd you get that? But I'd go. How did you like the, we haven't talked about it on the show, how did you like the Amazon Go experience? I got almond joy.
You did get an Almond Joy. I got a 79 cent water bottle.
It was reasonably priced. I was expecting it to be upcharged stuff, but it's not at all.
It was the 365 brand. So, I mean, they're definitely integrating all the Whole Foods brands. And I'm pretty sure the pre-made salads, they looked, I don't want to say eerily similar to all the Whole Foods salads.
Yeah. You could say that. It was a mini Whole Foods, basically, is what it felt like.
But I mean, it makes sense. Amazon owns Whole Foods. They've owned Whole Foods for like a year and a half now. So yeah, we should all be attuned to that fact.
Yeah. It's like the Whole Foods version of a bodega type of corner store.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was under the impression that there was going to be some sort of like chip-based sensor technology
it's all sensors, and it really did feel like you were stealing the item until like 10 minutes after you left. You're like, you got a notification on your phone and was like, thanks for stopping by. You're like, oh, okay, I did get charged. I'm not a criminal.
Yeah,
I'm not a thief.
Yeah, you walk through the gate when you leave. You walk through the exit gate, and you're just kind of like, so that's it.
We were all like, okay, do we leave?
Did I do it right? Like,
should we check with the person?
I followed the instructions, so if I didn't do it right, like, I mean,
it's on them, yeah. Really. It's their fault.
I think, you know, part of it, you know, over the first few months of that, we should say, I think that the one in Chicago is the first one outside of Seattle.
Yes.
And this started, they beta tested the Seattle ones with just Amazon employees for a while, and then released them to the public, opened the stores to the public. But, you know, I think part of it, as those become more widespread, will be just getting people used to the concept. Because if this is something that other grocery stores or other stores of any sort mm-hmm. want to adopt, like, it's going to be kind of like that first wave of driverless cars where you just got to convince people to get into that car without a driver and experience it. People just got to get familiar with this process.
Right.
And the whole, like, damn, did I do it right thing? Well, eventually. Because it is cool and it makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess, like, at this point, they have to have more people working in there to help people. Like, yeah. Where do I tap my phone?
Most of the people were just like, well, there was a lot of people making sure, like, did you download the app? Did you download the app?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Then the other people working were just literally restocking. So there wasn't, they definitely needed like one or two other workers like stationed, being able to answer the clear questions that people had on their faces, even though they weren't asking them.
Yeah.
They were just, we all looked so confused.
Yeah. And it's a bit of a novelty too. Like, we walked in and the person walking in right in front of us was very clearly vlogging it. And had a vlog camera selfie stick set up going on. As we were walking out, someone was like, hey, is it okay if I record in here? Like, they were just going to take a bunch of videos. So the novelty of it has to wear off, and we'll see where it goes from there. But, 4-star, coming to Soho. Have you ever been to Soho?
No, but I am going to New York in October. So,
well, maybe you could see.
I'm going to have to visit.
Field research.
Field research. There you go.
All right, so continuing on here with the world's trendiest companies, we're talking Tesla again this morning because...
Hopefully for the last time in a while.
The you-know-what has hit the fan over there at Tesla. We learned Thursday afternoon that the SEC is suing Elon Musk for fraud in the wake of his...
And I will say, sorry to interrupt, this announcement... It came in the middle of the Kavanaugh hearings.
Yeah, I mean,
yesterday.
This was...
So it kind of got brushed under the rug, so to speak, while like everyone was glued to their screens to the Kavanaugh hearings.
Yeah.
And then we were like, what?
Yeah.
The SEC is suing Elon Musk, but then no one could really like pay attention to this because of like what was happening in Washington. And there was a press conference about it.
Yeah. It was an absolutely sensational time to be on financial Twitter. I mean, there were takes coming left and right all over the place. This, that, and the other thing. Trends, hashtags popping up. It was crazy. And I was the whole way home on the train, just Twitter, Twitter, Twitter the entire time. So it was very interesting. But yeah, so the SEC suing Elon Musk for fraud, obviously in the wake of his go private tweet rant. We've talked about the rumors about the regulatory probes here on the show before. Those rumors turned out to be true. initial reports had also suggested that the commission will seek to bar him from serving as an official in a public company ever, which obviously threatens his ability to stay at the head of Tesla
so long as it is a
public company. He could stay on at SpaceX, right? I guess for now.
I get in the boring company.
Yes, of course. But things actually got even crazier than that, if you can imagine. On Friday morning, new reports suggested that Musk had come oh so close to actually avoiding the suit altogether. And apparently moments before Elon and the SEC were about to sign an agreement to settle the charge, Musk suddenly grew defiant and refused to sign.
So he channeled Kavanaugh's, Lindsey Graham's, and Chuck Grassley's defiance.
Yes, a lot of defiance. And was like, defiance is the story of the week, I think.
Yeah, and he was like, no, sorry.
Yeah, as we've kind of aired it out as well, maybe a bit of it. An ego thing going on there with Mr. Musk.
We've hinted at that. He has an ego.
But just details of the agreement that he said no to ultimately, reportedly, would have claimed quote-unquote no guilt for Musk in exchange for him spending 2 years barred from being CEO of Tesla and then having Tesla's board required to appoint 2 new independent directors to serve as interim CEOs, if you will. So kind of a 2-year vacay from CEO of Tesla. He wouldn't have had to admit guilt. Reasonable, I guess, deal. Now he's facing whatever the outcome will be for Tesla and then potentially being barred from serving in that position in any public company. I'll also note, and this is something I was talking to our director of research here, Shiraz Mian, about earlier today. Tesla's board really also looks horrible right now in the wake of this and letting it get to this point, not being able to reel him in or...
It's looked bad for a while now.
Yeah.
But it looks extra bad. Extra, extra bad.
Super extra bad today in the wake of all of this. So we'll see. I mean, it's kind of a live by the sword, die by the sword type of situation where if for years and years and years, it's going to be, hey, we're Tesla, Elon Musk is right out in the front of it. Believe in us because you believe in Elon. Invest in us because you believe in Elon. And then he gets a little bit more eccentric and does some things maybe that actually have legal repercussions. And all of a sudden, the visionary leader that helped you get to this point is now holding you back or even maybe even detrimental. I don't want our biases maybe to show too much. Maybe we're being too hard on Elon Musk in this case, but I think from what I understand of this suit, it's not good.
No.
It's not what you want.
No. And if I were a Tesla shareholder, this is not something.
Well, and it's as it turns out, plenty of people said, no longer am I a Tesla shareholder. This morning, Tesla shares were down about 12% at the open on Friday. I actually thought that was maybe it could have been worse looking at the after hours activity and then the reports we got today. So definitely watch that stock. I think you guys already were going to be watching that stock today. But watch that stock today as regular trading hours proceed. We're going to wrap things up here with a story that kind of played out all week. Stories really that played out all week in the media world and this consolidation merger stuff that's going on over there in the media industry.
So yeah, lots of media news. So Comcast emerged as the winner in its bidding war with 21st Century Fox for majority control of British media giant Sky Communications. And Comcast is apparently acquiring Sky for about $22.65 per share, and this brings the deal's total above $40 billion. So Sky and its 23 million subscribers clearly offered Comcast a strong foothold in Europe, but perhaps the bigger question at the time of this announcement was how the move will influence Disney's pending deal to acquire many of Fox's existing assets. This kind of reminds me of, it's like a deal within a deal.
Yes, exactly.
It's like Inception for mergers.
Because if Fox ends up getting Sky, the rest of Sky, then Disney
gets it all.
Trying to get Fox, that conversation becomes different. So it was really, I
would
hate
to be the accountants in these deals.
Yeah, the compliance department.
Oh my God.
Having a rough go of it, I'm sure.
But then we got some of that answer later in the week when Fox has said it will sell its minority stake of Sky to the U.S. cable company. Disney has reportedly shared its approval of the decision as well.
I like to imagine that just being a statue of Walt Disney nodding his head, like, yes, yeah, that's okay with me.
Now, Sky is, BBC is the biggest, like, media company over in the UK, right? Or is it Sky?
I don't know the numbers in terms of biggest, but, you know, Sky, obviously, big foothold in UK and then also in several other major European markets as well.
Okay.
They do a lot of soccer games. I know.
That's just my curiosity.
Sky Sports. I watch a lot of Sports streams. So,
when I was in London, that's how we watched a lot of random TV, was on through Sky. And then I think maybe BBC might just be throughout the UK. This is me totally speculating. Anyways, but
we know our domestic media real well.
Not necessarily over throughout the UK and Europe. But elsewhere in the media space, SiriusXM announced that they were going to purchase internet radio pioneer Pandora. Remember them?
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you still use Pandora?
Randomly, sometimes when I just want to like plug in a random artist and just like let it go.
Yeah.
That's usually,
it makes sense. Yeah.
Very random. Usually it's pretty much Spotify for me, but the pairing does make sense as SiriusXM attempts to keep pace with a shift to online music and audio content, and the satellite radio company is getting Pandora at no less than its IPO price of $16 a share. Still, Pandora has been pretty much lapped by Spotify and Apple and has struggled to generate profits in the 7 years since it went public. I mean, they kind of tried everything.
Yeah.
They have, they still have their free version, mm-hmm, and they have their premium, and I think that's $4.99 a month.
Now they have basically a Spotify clone as well.
Yeah.
Where you can go in and actually like do the playlist building and pick stuff yourself. Right.
But it just like hasn't resonated with like today's music consumer as much as...
When it first was a thing, it was like...
Oh my God, it was so cool.
Whoa. You're telling me I can just go on the internet and it's radio? Like, and I can put any artist that I like and you're going to play that music and other music that sounds like it and it's all free?
Yeah.
What is this revolutionary concept? And then like 2 years later, Spotify was like, yeah, actually you can have anything ever for free and you can build your own playlist. And actually, if you can build a whole playlist of stuff you like, and then we'll also do the exact same radio thing. If you just hit a button, we'll do a radio based off of that playlist. And then you're like, oh, that's cooler
than
Pandora.
If you don't want ads, you can just pay $9.99
a month. And then you were like, oh, that's better than what Pandora was doing. And then it was kind of game over for them. It isn't obviously game over. They're still around and they're still trying and doing stuff. But it has, as you said, been a challenge because of the competition. It just immediately... The internet radio thing was replaced by the streaming thing, which everyone thought was better. So it's kind of a tough look for our guys
over
at Pandora.
And SiriusXM, like, I don't listen to SiriusXM at all.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, occasionally I'm in a rental car that has it.
Yes, only when I'm in a car. And only, I remember when my parents got a new car, it was like a bonus with their new car.
Yep.
It was like a 6 month free thing. It was like, oh, look what you get.
Yeah.
6 months free SiriusXM. They're like, cool.
There's a
plus a sunroof. They're like even better.
There's a good contingent of people who have that exact relationship with SiriusXM. It came with their car. So I'm assuming they do a good good business with like having those partnerships developed with car companies. I'll also say there's a good amount of people, like a probably would surprise you amount of people who pay for SiriusXM just for Howard Stern. So and they pay him a gajillion dollars. So I mean, an interesting combination. I think it makes sense, as you said. But quick tip as we wrap this up, disclosure, Pandora radio station still bangs to this day. If you need to like do something that will help you transition from doing the dishes into like getting ready to go out on a Friday night, Disclosure Pandora Radio does it for you.
Latch is one of the best songs of the past 10 years.
All right. So you're welcome for that advice, and you're welcome for, you know, just all the key facts on all these hot stories. That's going to do it for us this week. If you want us to cover a different story, or if you thought that we missed something, or if you just want to contribute to this conversation, throw your hat in the Elon Musk ring here, shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. would love to hear from you. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on Zacks Friday Finish Line.